Thought for today. How many times have we asked ourselves why it is little children have illnesses? Why it is that little children have tragic diseases and conditions in their body that are not very pleasant? We ask ourselves why it is that bad things happen to good people. And we have no answer for that. We do have an answer for that, but that's another theological point, and we'll bring that up at another time. But right now, think of this. We can have a perfect body. We can have a perfect mind, and we can have a perfect spirit. We are born with all of the hang-ups that our parents have given to us, all of the family traditions, the DNA and the gene cells and gem cells and and stem cells and other things that are given to us. And we're given this. And that caused, in large part, the problems that children have. You mean parents cause their own children's problems? Sure. Can you stop a parent from worrying? Can you stop a parent from being anxious? Can you stop a parent from hurting vicariously for their child or for their spouse or their friend or whoever? Well, yes, you can. But do they stop? No. They continue going on, and the world will continue going on until everyone in the world has found why they have been born and why they have come to this planet Earth and why they're having this particular experience right here. You see, in our other dimensions of life that we are experiencing, we're living in our ideal purity, in our original purity and integrity. Here, we're having as a quiz, can we remember our original purity and integrity? So, if a mother says to a child, "Behave, you stupid kid. You're always doing dumb things. You're always being, you know, uncaring for everything that's going on in the world." Then, of course, the child is going to develop that consciousness. If a mother says to her child, "You are a prince. You are a princess. You are a royal family. Now you live up to that royal family." "I don't want to. I want..." You live up to that royal family. That's who you are, and that's who you are going to live up to. Well, the child may or may not agree. But as the child is inculcated into the idea that it is royal, it knows it is not a normal being. It is not a normal human being. It's a royal being. It is something that has a destiny of greatness and magnificence, you know. Wouldn't it be something if every parent taught their kids that? It has a destiny of greatness and magnificence that's beyond anything we could imagine. But no, we go around telling ourselves that we have these birth defects and we have these conditions that come from our family. So, now, you here, and you who listen to this talk, you have the privilege of knowing not the secret of the universe, but the principle of the universe. The principle of the universe says unequivocally, you like that word, unequivocally?
Yes.
The principle of the universe says unequivocally that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Whatever things we think about, those are the things we experience. Whatever things we give our attention to, that is the cause that we're putting into motion for the experience that we're having. And that is the way it is. Now, since 1988, operations have been done using stem cells. And they have been done all over the world. Some more successful than others because of principles I will tell you about in a moment. But they've been done. And today there are a jillion, not really that many, but an awful lot of stem cell operations being done throughout the United States and throughout the world. And these stem cell operations are being done for a reason. Because when you take a stem cell, which is an undifferentiated cell, and you put that cell in a liver, it will revitalize, redynamicize, and recreate that liver into its whole and original purity and integrity. Really. I've just gone through a list of 780 news clippings that tell this very fact, that the stem cell, undifferentiated, coming from different parts of the body, they say, has different effects. And of course, that's not true. It's just that wherever they're used, that's where they have the effect. Now, everywhere in the world, scientists are studying these ideas. And they started studying them first from the placenta and the umbilical cord and the child's birth juices and stuff like that, and found out that it's loaded with stem cells, undifferentiated cells, which have not yet been told what they're going to do. Now, these stem cells, when properly handled, bring about miracles. The scientists took the stem cell from a female rat and placed the stem cell in an eye of a rat that had been diseased and ill and enlarged. Just one little stem cell placed in that diseased eye. And within moments, the rat could see again. And within weeks, the eye was completely perfect and its original expression. Now, that's true. And the things they do with rats and mice, they can do with humans, because they have taken some human cells, and in fact, it was a human cell that they put, a human stem cell, that they put in the rat's eye to cure the disease in the eye. Now, how did the stem cell of a human know what to do in a rat? It's not compatible. Well, there is no compatibility in the stem cell. And scientists are doing experiments, and they say, well, you should bottle up your own family stem cells. You should bottle up your own generation stem cells because you want them to be compatible. Well, there's no need for that, which they'll learn. And they were saying they can only get stem cells from the placenta and so forth, and that this is not a desirable thing because it leads to the possibility of misusing the cells and things like that. Well, I contend, and now they have shown, that everywhere throughout the body, every organ, action, function of our body has stem cells constantly being born new in them. A stem cell is a new cell. It is a cell that has not been used before. It is a cell that has just come out of the womb, if you will. It has just come out of the nothingness. A stem cell come out of the nothingness. Stem cell come out of the liver, the heart, whatever. And as a stem cell, and how can a stem cell, some perfect cell, come out of an imperfect heart? Isn't that interesting? But it does. But what the stem cell does, it comes out of the perfect idea of the heart, the perfect concept. A stem cell is a thought. No matter how we want to fight it, it's a thought. Now, you can go and use your medical know-how and perform miracles, and truly you are performing miracles, taking these cells and putting them into tissues that need to be rejuvenated and rejuvenating them, and that's wonderful. People are traveling mainly to China and other places, India and Thailand, to have operations done because they're not allowed to be done in the United States yet. But the two will come. The thing is, I'm not concerned so much about the operations. Those are just lovely, temporary things. If we can train our mind to realize that it is the master switch, the master director, the master controller, the master recognizer, the master revealer of all of the stem cells of our body, then we take the stem cells mentally and see them all twing throughout every organ, action, function of our body, which is part of our affirmation. Now, the pluripotent, P-L-U-R-I-P-O-T-E-N-T, is the universal stem cell. There's three types of stem cells. And it is a stem cell that can do anything, any place. So naturally, that's the one sought after. And isn't it interesting that the very thing people want to manipulate and control, F-A-T, they're fat. People don't like to be fat, okay? They want to be slim. But in fat is where they find a plethora of stem cells available to be used by any purpose at all. Isn't that interesting? They're finding these things. Well, that's not anything unusual. Mental conditioning tells the cells how and where to function. Mental conditioning tells the cells how and where to function. Now, what are you telling your cells how and where to function? Ideas come to my consciousness to say illustrations, but they're not illustrations of benefits, so I don't say them. But ideas come to our consciousness of how to benefit from the cells and how to have the cells benefit us. Now, the first thing is we have to follow Mr. Emerson's wonderful quotation. And Ralph Waldo Emerson is quoted as saying, "We must get our bloated nothingness out of the way of the divine circuits." But what a universally impactful concept that is, so glorious and so punchy. It's you right there. Get our bloated nothingness. Bloated nothingness. It's our thinking that says it can't be done, out of the way of the divine circuits. And these news here reports that I've read this morning, one of them, several of them actually, but one said to this young man who was 31 or something, and he had an illness that was incurable. And so he said he was going over, he was living in England, he was going over to India, I believe, to have an operation done, a stem cell operation. And they said, "It's improbable. It's improbable." Well, he went over and had it done. It worked. Now, if he had listened to the doctors who talk about what the system they know, the medicines and the way the body operates and so on that they know, then that's true. It was improbable. And it wouldn't have been done because he wouldn't have gone to do it. Now, another young man in England, he wanted to have an operation and with stem cells, but his insurance wouldn't pay for it in England. So he decided, okay, I'll go to China. And so he saved the money and went to China. Now, you see, it was cheaper. What he did was, first, he believed the stem cell can do it. Now, that's a big step. It's a big step to think that any cell, anything can make us whole and perfect. I mean, that's a big step. That's the step of Mandrake the Magician and all these others, you know. The step is that it works. That it works. And then it's not a very great leap from the fact that the cell works and the cells are from your body to you telling your body how to function. Heinz comes up to me and he says, "I got a stomach ache." And I said, "Heinz, do you realize what just happened? Your mother called and she wants to talk to you. Oh, my mother called? She wants to talk to me? His stomach ache is forgotten. And he says, Mom, you want to talk to me? His stomach ache is still forgotten. What do you want to say, Mom? Heinz, I want to tell you first before anybody else. I won the sweepstakes. I got $12 million. Heinz, what do you think of that? Oh, is that all? I think it's wonderful, Mom. Still, he forgets his stomach ache. And then later, he goes back and he says, Herb, what was that I was talking to you about? I said, I don't know. I'm certainly not going to remind him, you know, if he has released his stomach ache from his mental attitude, his mental thinking. And now, did the condition in his body change? Yes. He stopped pouring the negative acids and chemicals into his body that were making his stomach ache. That's what it is, you know. He released all the tensions and all the anxiety that were not letting his stomach act in a normal, harmonious way. And by the time he got done talking to his mama, he was fresh, cleansed, washed through with a beautiful idea and his happiness for his mom, and knowing that his mom loved to share. But you see, all of these things, they're part of the game. They're part of that wonderful game, but we do not take responsibility for playing the game. Heinz did not say to his stomach ache, go away. He did not say, body, relax. Release your tensions, release your anxieties. All my enzymes function properly now, and I'm balanced. Give me a glass of baking soda, and I'm balanced. Reduce all the acidic action there and base it out. And you see, you know, that's nice. But he didn't say any of that. All he did was to take his attention away from creating the problem to something different, anything. And when the problem that he was creating no longer had his attention, it no longer had a reason to exist. It no longer had a reason to be there. Now, our stem cells working on our behalf no longer have a reason to work on our behalf, because we teach them and treat them with the concept that we are a poor body. We are a sickly body. We are a sickly mind. We are a sickly world. We are a sick, everything is kaput, you know? And sure enough, then the stem cells go right to work manifesting that for us. And they do. You hear the story of the genie and the magic lantern, or the Aladdin and the magic lantern, and he rubs it, and out comes this genie that says, you know, what would you have me do? And you smile at it, and you say, it's kind of a charming fairy tale, you know. It'd be nice if it were true, but a charming fairy tale. But still, you have the little bit of the thought that it's true, the little bit of the thought that it's not just a fairy tale. And so, because you have that little bit of a thought, that gives it a little bit of power. Now just imagine if you were able to train yourself with every thought you think to say, I am master of my world. I like me. I'm divine order. I'm peace. If we said, I like me. I'm divine. Herb, I'm sick and tired of saying it. Good. Go on. I like me. I'm divine order. I'm peace. I like me. I'm divine order. I'm peace. Say it and say it. You have been saying, I'm sick, and demonstrating it. You've been saying, I haven't got any money, and demonstrating it. You've been saying, I haven't got any friends, and demonstrating it. You've been saying, I haven't got this, I haven't got that, and you demonstrate that. Because you put such power and such enthusiasm behind it, and your stem cells just jump out there and say, okay, that's what you want me to do. Hey, stem cells, bring in the groceries. You bet. Hey, stem cells, take out the garbage. You bet. Stem cell, don't play around in the garbage when you take it out. Take it out and dump it. Don't go plowing through it in case there's anything that somebody might have thrown away that you would like to keep, you know? Don't be a trash picker. Stem cell, around this place, everything is brand new. Every thought is brand new. Every concept is brand new. Everything we go into is new, new, new. Now, you see, that takes a lot of attention from us, because we have gone the other way for so long. And if we continue going the other way, then we will not go the right way. I believe that if we train ourselves to do it right, we can, with a snap of our finger, be done. And if we don't train ourselves to do it right, we will live in that limitation all of our life, because that is what we are claiming for ourselves. Now, all these people all over the world being knowledgeable and interested in stem cells and thinking how they'd love to have a stem cell operation, you know, pretty soon there'll be a mercury cone with stem cells in it. You just put it on your wound and it's done, you know. That's kind of, but it should be here. It should be here. And but the thing is, as long as it's here, then it's here. As long as the hurt is here, it's in your heart and your mind. As long as the illness is in your body, it's in your mind. As long as the lack or limitation or not happiness in whatever relationships you have, it's in your mind. That it's in your experience. It's in your experience. Now, we won't ask the silly question, why didn't Jesus get married? Didn't he love anybody? Didn't he want anybody? And there are people who say, well, he did. He married Mary Magdalene and this and that and the other. And you see, human. We even take our spiritual master and we make him a human. And we say, gee, he's human. He was got hormones and he wants sex and he wants this and that. Why do we want to make him human? He showed us a spiritual path, an inner path. He showed us a path with the presence within, the Father within. And now, we might rename the Father and call it what?
Stem cells.
You know? Oh, Herb, that's sacrilegious. No, it isn't. You say, I am God, God I am. That's sacrilegious. It's sacrilegious to say, all that you are is all that God is. You are God. It's true, but you're expressing only that amount of God that you claim. So why not claim all? I am the infinity. I am the allness. I am the absolute. You know, I am perfect in every organ, action, function of my body, and be perfect. You know, I am this. I am that. I'm be it. You see, that's sacrilegious not to take all of it. It really is. For me to have a piece of chocolate cake on a plate in front of me, even with some ice cream on it, it's sacrilegious for me not to eat the whole thing. It is. Because, I mean, that is in my heart, in my mind, in my tummy, and I want it. Now, I don't want everybody to give me chocolate cake. I mean, my gosh, I would have so many chocolate cakes. It would be very, very, very all-consuming. But I use that as an illustration. Mm-hmm. You see, this is what goes on in us. Now, when we are enamored with that chocolate cake, it doesn't hurt us one little bit. It doesn't do anything to our blood sugar. It doesn't do anything to our energy level. It doesn't do anything to our lack of energy level. It doesn't make us tired and want to sleep. Whatever we think is what happens. Now, what do you think? What do you think when you eat food? Do you think this food is making me fat? Then so be it. This food is perfect balance for my body? Then so be it. Do you always eat the right amount of foods and the right things in the right way? Then so be it. Do you always, are you always too fat or too thin or whatever? Then so be it. It's whatever our consciousness is. These stem cells are going to go to your body and they're going to go to your meter in your body, and the meter says, this is the amount of food that is comfortable for your body to operate properly, and anything extra, it's okay. Dump it through. It's okay. Dump it through. If you drink something that's not good for you, dump it through. Dump it through. What if one of the things, and I could name many, that heals very rapidly? Your tongue.
Thought.
Now, what I'm talking about, a physical expression. Yes, thought heals very rapidly.
The mouth.
Yeah, the mouth heals very quickly. Why? Because
of the saliva.
Well, no, that's logical. It heals quickly because the mouth is designed to take in virtually everything. And the mouth is designed as a taster. And little children taste things that might not be beneficial to them. And animals taste things that might not be beneficial. And out they go, you know. And How can a coyote eat a rabbit, and then a little while later, out of his bowels comes rabbit fur in his bowels? You know, it's quite amazing, quite amazing. And what happens to all those little tiny bones? Do they all get digested and eaten up, or do they get mixed up in his intestines and what have you? He's designed himself over a period of time to be able, not over a period of time, he was born to be able to eat his quarry, you know, because that was what he was done. And mankind too. Mankind is born to eat nothing or eat everything. Can mankind live on fluid alone?
Yes.
How do you know that?
Because I know.
How do you? But don't be so petulant like that. Is there intravenous feeding?
Yeah.
Have people been fed all their lives with intravenous feeding because they had something wrong with their throat or their whatever? I had an aunt, very wealthy aunt who could afford everything. She's a multimillionaire back in the 30s and 40s, you know, that's meant a lot. And so she had to be fed intravenously all of her life. She had all the money in the world. She couldn't buy her perfect health. And she lived for a long, long time. She lived for until she was 70. But one of the things that helped her live, besides her intravenous feeding, was that she was a Christian Scientist. And she believed she was whole and perfect. This outer evidence, she liked to wear a fur coat. She liked to wear pretty dresses. She liked to live in a lovely house, have a nice car, and what have you. Those are all outer things, you know. Now, why didn't she go by thought to do these things? Well, she wasn't ready to do that yet. She still needed to have the intravenous feeding. Well, she had a lovely, lovely aunt, you know. We all were very distressed at her when she died. She left it all to the Christian Science Church, you know, and not to her relatives, her nephews and nieces, and she had lots of them, you know. But no, she didn't do that. Not even her husband and her son. But they had the factory and stuff like that, so there was no problem. But you see, the thing is, what is our thought? Do we say, I couldn't live on fluids? Do we say, I couldn't do this, I couldn't do that? Yes, we do. Why do we say that? Because we make rules for ourselves that are not valid. They're valid for us because we believe them and follow them, but they're not really valid. Now, let's make a rule and have that rule say that every organ, action, function of my body daily is giving birth to stem cells. One cell is enough, but it's giving birth to stem cells, many of them. Because there's 10,000 stem cells every day in the brain alone, they say. Okay. If that's true, then let's say there's maybe 100,000, a million, zillion, whatever, stem cells born in the body. All right, now, these stem cells are just waiting to do what you want them to do. So, do you go around saying, oh, I have perfect eyesight. I see everything so clearly. I see everything so clearly. You know, I see everything so clearly. I see everything. You know, my peripheral vision is fantastic. And I'm fantastic, you know. One young man, he was without sight for over 20 years, and he couldn't see his kid or his family. And so they gave him a shot in the eye with a stem cell, and poof, he had his vision back within days. It was instantly. The morning he couldn't read, he couldn't recognize anything. In the afternoon he could read a magazine. And then as the days went on, it improved. But now, these stem cells are in his eyeball right now, in your eyeball, in your head, right now, waiting to be told what to do. And if you say, okay, I got to have it inserted in there by a doctor, well, then that's whatever you believe. Whatever you believe. It's the stem cell. Now, who's supporting that stem cell in his project in your eye?
His mind.
all the other stem cells. And it's your mind that tells those stem cells what to do. And it's your mind that says, this operation is going to work, I believe in it. Or it's not going to work, I don't believe in it. Now, you don't need an operation. You say, Herb, are you telling people not to go to the doctor and not to go to have surgery done? I never say that. I say, if you want to have it done, go have it done. If you want any type of medicine, go and get it and enjoy it. I do say you don't need it, but I say go and get it and enjoy it. And then keep putting into your mind the thought, I'm whole and perfect, I'm whole and perfect, I'm whole and perfect, I am whole and perfect, I am whole and perfect, I am whole and perfect. Articulate, I am whole and perfect, I am whole and perfect. And then all the stem cells in your body will get on the bandwagon and they will all participate in I am whole and perfect. And pretty soon you will have the body of the divine, the ideal spirit, mind, and body. The ideal, you don't know what that is, but it should be nice. I could accept that it sounds good. Now, could you have your original purity and integrity?
Of course.
What's your original purity and integrity? Wholeness.
Okay.
So, but you've got to start thinking in that direction if that's the direction you want. If Heinz tells me, Herb, I'm going to go to Campbell and I'm going to get some chocolate ice cream. And I say, go for it, Heinz. So what Heinz does, he sees Cameron Corners on the way to Campbell. And he says, well, let's see if they got it here. I don't have to go all the way to Campbell. So he goes into Cameron Corners and he said, I would like chocolate ice cream. And the lady said, very good. And Heinz said, but I need 2 gallons or half gallons, you know. And the lady says, well, you have to go over to Campbell for it. He says, well, I was going to do that in the first place, but I'll do that now. So he bought part of Cameron Corners. He went over to Campbell, and here they had a dozen half gallons there. And so he bought a half gallon, so now he has a full gallon, which he wanted. But he didn't follow his heart. He didn't follow, I'm going to Campbell. And Heinz didn't know that Cameron Corners is not Campbell. Cameron Corners is Cameron Corners. It's a community, you know, a designated community. And Campbell is not much bigger, but it's a designated community too. Down the road, a few more miles. Now, why didn't Heinz go to Campbell immediately? Because Heinz allowed himself to be distracted. If you don't know where you're going, you can never get there. And if you think that you're getting someplace or making a shortcut by stopping in between, just be sure something's going to happen, because you were not supposed to do that. That was not what you told yourself. And you just watch what happens. Get a flat tire, or something blocks you in and you can't get out. You know, people parking you all the way around, having a party, something else, you know. But we're dealing with the principle. And the principle is, I am whole and perfect. The principle is, my body is loaded with stem cells, not only cells, but stem cells. And each stem cell is undifferentiated, waiting for me to tell it what to do. The differentiated cells have already been differentiated and are now doing what they were told to do. You understand? Now, what are you going to tell these thousands and millions and trillions of cells in you, stem cells, waiting to be told what to do? How long, how many lectures must I give on this? How many suggestions must I make to you before you take 99% of your time recognizing that? And when you recognize that that last teensy-weensy bit of a percent, you got it made. Because there's no halfway. I don't like this chair. I lean over all the time on it. That other chair is better. Why is it that these things happen in our life? Because they're thoughts we put in motion. And we don't want those type of activities in our life. And the only way not to have those activities in our life is for us to take charge of who we are. Take charge of our stem cells. Take charge of our attitudes. Take charge of everything. And live a fabulous life. We're going to have a seminar the 16th through the 21st, isn't it, or something like that? 15th through the 21st. And in that seminar, we're going to practice training ourselves in training our thought about our stem cells and how we can beneficially use them to accomplish any goal we have in our life. Now, the movie The Secret likes to say it's kept secret by people who use it and know it. Well, it's not kept secret. Mm-hmm. It's that those people were dedicated enough to use it. Mm-hmm. It's a principle. And the principle is standing right out there. Now, Heinz, I'm not going to ask you this question. Ingeborg, if I show you this wall here, see the wall? Now, look at the wall and tell me what you see.
I see a watch, a clock.
Stop. She looked at the wall and she saw the clock. You look at a picture and it has a line circle around it and a dot in the middle. What do you see?
The dot.
You see the dot. What does she see? She looks at this whole wall here with all the paraphernalia for breakfast on the table in front of it and so forth. And she sees the clock on the wall. Now, that's good. That's good. That's one-pointedness. Now, take that same one-pointedness on thinking about who and what you are.
I do already.
And when you do that, your life will be absolutely perfect. You will look like you're just a young spring chicken, which you are, and so forth and so on. And that's what it's all about. Kind of fun, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay. That's enough for today. Enjoy yourself. Practice it a little bit. And watch the miracles. I love you.
I love you.
I love you.
I love you.
I love you.